Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
This is WGN Radio. Don Jackson Blattner is the author, registered dietitian, nutritionist that you can follow on Instagram at djblattner.com or just click on donjacksonblattner.com. We turn to her for advice on nutrition and wellness all the time. Or maybe you saw her on TV. In fact, I wonder if she'll even take our call anymore now that she was on Good Morning America last weekend. Hello, Don. Welcome back.
Oh, well, hello. Thank you for the pomp and circumstance introduction. I appreciate it.
Yes, listen to that. She's talking to a local radio station rather than just a nationwide audience. How does that happen,
That's
Don?
That's right.
I mean, not that you haven't had a national resume anyway, but do you regularly do the network shows like that?
Yes. Yeah, so Good Morning America is a good friend of mine, and usually I'll do a segment or two every quarter. And I was happy to do it last week talking about resolutions and how to be more positive about them. Because, you know, that's what I always like to talk about. It's like you try and make it positive. So that's what I did. It was fun.
Well, I thought if you're about to reiterate to us some of the wisdom you gave us before the new year, I'm all ears. I think your idea that instead of sacrificing, you come up with things you should be doing, like drink more water, CrossFit, eat more protein. Those are active things as opposed to passive things. And I like that strategy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it really is still, I mean, only the 11th day of this new year, or 12th, I guess, the 12th day of this new year. And people are really still, like, you know, thinking about resolutions and what they can cut out. So to your point, yes, it's all about what can you add. So, like, you know, what I talked about in Good Morning America, what we talked about before the new year, is like the first step, the big picture of how to actually eat better and be healthier would be to add fruits and vegetables. And so, you know, I say it's not like just eat fruits and vegetables and that's all. It's like whatever you're already doing, don't even change anything. Just add berries to your cereal in the morning. Just add a few veggie sticks on the side of your ham sandwich. You know, you're eating pizza or a burger at dinner time. You know, put some vegetables on there or throw on a side salad. You know, it really doesn't have to be as hard as everyone wants to make it. You can be healthier with just like some ads like that.
I had some pizza last night and I had them put on onions and green peppers and then they cook it. And I know I'm eating pizza and I know all of the sins that you know, involves. But am I getting still some nutritional value from the green peppers and onions, even though they're cooked, even though they're sitting on a pizza?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the thing is every little bit counts. So sure, the goal is 3 cups of vegetables a day, 2 cups of fruits a day. But if somebody is eating zero, you know, even just putting some on the pizza and having them cook down there, that actually is a start in the right direction. It's all about momentum. And, you know, I'm a big fan of intentionality, your energy in which you're eating food. So the idea of, you know, are you eating pizza that you're feeling like good about, you're having a happy time with it, you're enjoying it versus, you know, people who are eating it and feeling such shame and guilt about it. It's like, you know, leave that shame and guilt, you know, aside. Just be an empowered eater. If you're going to make a decision to eat it, enjoy it, and move on. We know that self-compassion is actually a very big component of motivation, that when people can eat, enjoy it, and move on, they are more likely to, the next meal, you know, have a salad, as opposed to the people who beat themselves up all the time. They're more likely to be demotivated and not do healthy behaviors.
Are frozen green beans as nutritionally sound as fresh green beans?
Yes, they are. And in fact, you know, you may have heard this line, and it's not just marketing, is that, you know, frozen vegetables are frozen at their peak nutrition. And so in all actuality, for some people, they could be even more nutritious than the fresh that have been sitting in, you know, the back of the fridge for so long. The other thing I like about frozen is that they're always there. You know, bottom line is, you know, you can get all the fresh produce that you want, but if you haven't gone to the store and you're like, oh, shoot, you know, you could always keep it in the freezer for your backup so that you have those green beans. I love, by the way, green beans, frozen or fresh, in an air fryer. I used to not think I liked an air fryer so much, but I'll tell you what, veggies in the air fryer are delicious. I toss them in a little bit of olive oil, put them in there, and they're delicious.
What do you make of popcorn for a snack? I've become a big popcorn guy.
Oh, popcorn is naturally a whole grain. So we always talk, oh, eat your whole grains, eat your whole grains. Well, actually, popcorn is a whole grain, so it counts toward that goodness.
Wow.
And the biggest thing is just the toppers, you know? It's like, if it is loaded with butter and salt, that's the tricky part of this. You know, it's like, yeah, you could have a little butter, a little olive oil, a little salt, a little pepper, but trying to make those toppers, more healthful is the name of the game.
I had a vegan lemon cookie today. Is there any... What does vegan mean to me as a non-vegan? Is it better, worse, indifferent?
Oh, is this a good question? So the idea of vegan is that it has no animal products in there. So it's not made with eggs. It's not made with milk. But there is a big health halo around things that say vegan that people say, oh, my gosh, it's vegan. It must be better for me. And then all of a sudden they want to eat two or three because it has this sort of health halo around it. But a vegan cookie is just like a regular cookie that has the eggs and the milk. Still, sugary, delicious, enjoy it. But be careful, be mindful about those health halos that, it's not better for you just because it's vegan.
Is there any reason not to drink a LaCroix water? It's sweet. It's water, but I'm like, I must be paying a price for this delicious bubble water, am I?
No, it's so great and hydrating. You're absolutely right. The only thing that I really have people stay mindful of is there are small studies about having carbonated beverages sitting on your teeth for too long. And so, for example, if you have a LaCroix, drink it, enjoy it, and then, drink some water to flush out your mouth so that it's not just sitting on your teeth. So that's like sort of the only little tidbit to think of. But otherwise, those carbonated beverages, especially like a LaCroix that has no added sweetener, is a genius idea, especially for people who are trying to get out of the trap of soda. A lot of times people say, oh my gosh, I just can't give up that soda pop. It's so good. And they're addicted actually to the carbonation more than anything. So those LaCroix that are unsweetened can be a great swap for people who are looking to, get rid of or at least cut down on their soda. The other thing that soda provides for a lot of people is caffeine. So having something like green tea to try and make sure you don't get headaches when you're trying to swap out of that soda is also a smart idea.
We're talking to Dawn Jackson Blattner, the author, the registered dietitian and nutritionist. She wrote The Flexitarian Diet. She also wrote The Superfood Swap. You reminded me of what Dr. Amar Patani says from Main Street Smiles, one of our sponsors here. He's a guest on the show once in a while, and he almost always reminds us to rinse your mouth with fresh water after a meal. It's not a substitute for brushing your teeth or anything else, but just getting that water in there to clear the acids from your mouth or the, say, carbohydrates from some bread, just rinse your mouth a little bit, he says, is a very good, helpful idea. I think I always thought I'm kidding myself if I think this is doing any good. He said, no, that's a good practice.
That advice, because it is sometimes just that simple stuff that is like that little add-on, they call micro habits, little tiny habit that you can add that can make a difference. I love that. Great dental advice here, for sure.
Dawn Jackson Blattner, hold on. We really haven't gotten into what are the three positive nutrition habits that you recommended on Good Morning America last weekend. Three positive nutrition habits. And maybe you've got a question about the food you eat or don't eat. Talking to Dawn Jackson Blattner, and you can too. 312-981-7200. She's the registered dietitian and nutritionist, the author, and was just on Good Morning America with three positive nutrition habits. I know we've talked around them, but just lay those out for us, Dawn.
Okay, so the first one is just add vegetables. Don't change anything. Just add
yep.
Your produce. Second one is plate check for protein. I can tell you a little bit more about this in a second, but bottom line is just making sure that your plate has some sort of protein. Is that yogurt or cottage cheese, or is it fish or chicken? Is it beef or pork? Is it beans or lentils or tofu or nuts or seeds? Make sure that your plate has a protein. It's key imperative for cellular health and strength. And then the last one is swap the whole grains. We talk about this often, but you know, if you're already eating bread and buns and tortillas and crackers, you know what? Just lean over 6 inches in the grocery store and buy the whole grain version instead of the white refined flour version, because we know that health and longevity is associated with eating whole grains. So those refined white ones are doing us no good. And the more whole grain versions is still enjoyable, but it's just better for us.
You know, I feel about that the way I do milk. I now drink 2%, but once upon a time, we never drank skim 1% or 2%. We always drank whole milk. And when years ago, we all kind of transitioned to the thinner milk, it was like watery and it took some getting used to. But now, if I have a whole milk, like maybe when my granddaughter's there and we have that milk, it feels, I have the same negative reaction. It feels too thick. You know what I mean?
Oh, you know what I love? This point that you were making is our taste buds do change. And really, it's something that we say a lot in the biz, is the more you eat something, the more you want it. And so it's like, you know what? Hey, I don't know if I really like a salad. I'm going to have one. Okay, next day, I'm going to have a little one. Yeah. All of a sudden, I don't know, 7 days later, you're like, I can't even eat this without a salad. Like, you just become used to things. We can definitely transition to taste buds that enjoy healthier, good for you options. And that is true. Good point with the whole grains, is that you have to transition.
Well, white bread always was my bread of choice, and anything else would have, even wheat bread, let alone whole grain breads, would always seem like a compromise. But now if I have something on just plain good old Wonder white bread, it feels a little gross. It feels like, oh no, even if my taste buds are telling me I like it, my brain is going, this is such a bad idea. Don't do it, John. So
I love what you're saying here. Actually, this visualization, it's been studied in muscles a lot, that when you're lifting weights and you visualize those weights building your muscle, you're going to build muscle better, faster than if you weren't visualizing. Same thing is true in nutrition, that when you're eating and you're visualizing like the whole grains, making yourself healthy and making them spry and alive and like thinking about all the nutrition that you're flooding into your body, that actually can make you healthier. So I like that you're thinking about, as you're eating, you know, how healthy or not healthy this is making yourself, how happy and healthy it's making yourself.
It's 11:50. Let's pick up some phone lines for Dawn. We'll start with Eddie. Eddie, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Hi, John. Hi, Dawn. How you guys doing today?
Good. What's up?
I had a question. You know, I eat maybe sushi like 3 or 4 times a week, and just because I get bored with salads, I eat a lot of the raw stuff, but then I'll have the vegetable and spring rolls and stuff. Are there any pros and cons to that? Can you eat too much of it?
Ooh, sushi. I don't feel like we talk about this enough. I love it. So sushi is generally raw fish, and the fattier the fish for you, the better. So ordering sushi that is tuna and that is salmon, those are great, gives us omega-3s. Now, the tricky part about sushi is, and we sort of forget this, that it's a lot of white rice, and a lot of times Americanized sushi is a lot of mayo. So the biggest thing when it comes to sushi is to pay attention to the mix of how many rolls are you getting that are ricey and mayonnaise-y versus how many actual pieces of fish are you getting. And to round it out, a lot of times I encourage people to get like the edamame, which are the soybeans that are high in protein, a miso soup because it's a fermented food, great for digestion. And even they have, at a lot of sushi places, they have spinach salads that are like gomai salads with sesame seeds, and very good way to get vegetables. So anyway, sushi, bottom line, is great because it gives you the fish, but just be mindful of the white rice and the mayonnaise, because a lot of times it's more than you think in terms of those two things.
Okay, no, thanks. That's very helpful. I appreciate your insight on there. Thank you.
Yeah, well, good question. Thanks, Eddie. Yeah, I don't eat sushi, so it didn't come up that much on this show. I'm glad you called. This is another Eddie on line 3. You're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Yeah, good morning. I heard that breakfasts should be a bigger, and then as the day progresses, should be lighter. And then the cutoff time as far as eating is like 6 or 6:30. I want to get your feedback about that.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Actually, the study that is I am obsessed with right now is all about protein hunger, and that getting protein in the morning is the greatest way that you can help your appetite and energy through the day. So having a breakfast that isn't just like a granola bar, but having a breakfast that's, you know, eggs or cottage cheese or Greek yogurt, those types of things, and having it nice and robust is very, very smart because it controls your energy and your appetite for the rest of the day. So I do love to front load your food if you can, right? That would be a great goal. And then the other thing about a cutoff time, I'm a real big fan of having at least 12 hours between your last bite of food and your first bite of food. So for example, if you stop eating at 8 p.m., having your first bite of food at 8 a.m., a 12-hour fast allows your body to just recalibrate and almost set a, I call it like a auto clean button that your oven has, your body has, if you give it a little bit of time. So it doesn't have to be a specific time of day in terms of your last bite of food, but do be conscientious about that sort of 12 hours of body rest that your body would definitely appreciate.
She likes that idea, Eddie.
Thank you very much. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you do too. Thanks for the phone call. I tried that this week for a couple of days. My last food I consumed was at 6 p.m., and then I didn't eat anything until 10 a.m. the next day. And I got to tell you, I hated that. I was starving at like 7 o'clock, and I went to a basketball game that didn't start until 8 o'clock, and my son's having a hot dog sitting next to me. I'm like, oh, I really want a hot dog. I didn't have a hot dog. Didn't even have the popcorn. The next morning, I'm like, oh, I'm sitting in my office getting ready for the show. The show starts at 10, and I got a bag of nuts there and some oranges. And I'm like, no, you're waiting until 10 o'clock. 10:01, I'm eating. But I did feel better about it. I don't know how much better I felt, but I was glad I did that, Dawn.
Well, I'll tell you, so that you tried 14 hours right out of the gate. And so some people like to acclimate with 12 hours. So if you stopped eating at 7, then your first meal being at 7. And if that feels easy, and once that feels, you know, totally doable, then pushing it to maybe 13.
Yeah,
then pushing it to 14 to acclimate a little. But again, the benefit of this is not that we're trying to teach people to skip meals. It's just to say your body loves this little bit of a reset that you're giving it to auto-clean and get prepared for the food that's to come. So I love that you did it. And by the way, this dietitian did not miss that you said you had nuts and orange. That is a perfect produce and protein pairing, which is the dynamic duo for the best snack. So anytime that somebody says, yo, what should I snack on? It's always going to be produce and protein, and that's exactly what you did, orange and nuts. So yeah. A-plus from this dietitian to you.
Well, full confession, it was those smokehouse almonds that have some salt on them, and they're smoky, and they're fantastic. They're so delicious, but it was probably not the best kind of nut to have.
Hey, you know what? Here's the thing. It's nuts, as opposed to chips or even eating a hot dog in the morning, right? Like, bottom line is you're still getting them in, and so I'm giving that a thumbs up in terms of a snack.
Dave, you're on WGN with Dawn Jackson-Blattner. Hi, Dave.
Hi, good morning. I've got a question for you. I know someone who does not like the taste of water. So, you know, you're always trying to, get yourself hydrated and so forth. Is there anything that you can eat or whatever that might change your taste buds a little bit?
Yeah, so, okay. Bottom line, there's a lot of people out there who really have trouble getting all their water in. And we know from the National Institutes of Health that getting water in can extend your life. This is like no joke. It's a big deal to be hydrated. So one of the things that I always tell people is to know your water personality. And so water personality means some people like hot water, room temperature, or cold, or super cold and icy. Some people prefer when there's lemon in there, when there's lime in there, when there's an orange in there, or grapefruit in there. Some people prefer spa water with mint and cucumber. But the idea of flavoring for people who don't like it plain is very smart. It's why Gatorade, by the way, flavors all of their drinks, is because people drink more when something is flavored. So definitely, if somebody doesn't like plain, is like flavor it up in this any kind of way like that, so that you'd be more likely to drink more. Yes, of course, you get water, about 20% of your water from fruits and vegetables that you eat, but the majority really does need to come from drinking it in a glass. And I'll tell you, that super icy cold water, there are some people who really find that dilutes the taste of it because it sort of freezes your palate so you can't really taste it. So it may be just finding that right temperature or the right flavor for her or him.
They say if you want to fully experience beer, it should be warmer than colder for that reason. It's 11:57. Okay, we're out of time, Dawn. So many texts and calls today. I'm going to keep the texts that have come in. We'll start here next week when you join us again. I hope you can join us again.
Oh, my gosh. Of course. I mean, this is the best time of my whole week.
DawnJacksonBlattner.com. Click on that or follow her on Instagram, DJ Blattner. Okay, Dawn, next week we'll talk more. Thanks for your help today.